The Bitcoin Group, the American original. For over the last 10 seconds, the sharpest Satoshis, the best Bitcoins, the hardest cryptocurrency talk. We'd like to welcome our panelists, Dan Eve, the Crypto Raptor.
Welcome, folks.
Adam Meister, the Bitcoin Meister.
Hell man, like button!
From Baltimore. And I'm Thomas Hunt with the World Crypto Network. Moving on to issue one. Issue one, how a 2024 quadfectra could drive the Bitcoin price to new highs. Yes, they're saying next year in 2024, we're looking at possible rate cuts by the Federal Reserve, a presidential election, a Bitcoin halving, and the possible approval of a spot Bitcoin ETF. In 2024, is that the year for Bitcoin? Dan Eve, what excites you about the possible quadfectra?
Oh, there's definitely a lot going on, right? There's as well as the ETFs. I did read some news the other day that apparently six ETFs, spot ETFs, could be approved at the same time. Which would be crazy, right? Like buses. I don't know where that came from. I can't remember. It was like some Twitter.
That's really only the fair way to do it, right?
Yeah, right. Well, I can't see BlackRock, you know, being last in the queue, right? So, and there's obviously Grayscale and some of the other spot ETFs. You got there a lot earlier, but maybe there's some dodgy handshakes going on. Maybe it's going to be a quintfecta, right? Because of the fact that WCN's Bitcoin Group Show will be on its 400th episode, so all five of those things could see the Bitcoin moon. But there's plenty of all these predictions of how crazy the price is gonna be. Obviously, the main thing for us really is the halving. That all these other sort of events are kind of side events. They're sideshow events. The main show is the halving, and watching that supply shrink further and further. And in such a beautiful mathematical way, right? There's obviously people that still say that technically it could change, you know, someone could put a proposal through and people end up jumping on the bandwagon, and the supply will increase more than 21 million, or the halving schedule will change, but that's just never going to happen, right? People always kind of spread FUD on the supply changing, but I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
You're right, Dan, and we'll have the 10th anniversary of the World Crypto Network on February 1st, 2024. Adam Meister, what do you think about the possible quadfectra, all the excitement for Bitcoin next year?
Well, first of all, the proper name in horse racing is the superfecta, not the quadfecta. It's trifecta and superfecta is when you get all four, the first four horse, and you predict the first, second, third, and fourth horse. I'm from Baltimore. We're going for our fourth championship starting tomorrow. God willing, bring it to us, Orioles. Now, let me say something. Four horsemen, like Ric Flair, baby. Woo! And I am pumped already for the freaking halving. Now, you send this article about quadfecta, okay? I mean, it's from some mainstream thing. They were speaking with George Tung of Crypto RS YouTube channel. What the heck is this? Dude, yeah, we've heard all this talk. It's a four-year cycle, dudes, okay? I've lived through Thomas. How long have we lived through this stuff for? Of course the halving is pumping it. Of course this, that, and the other. It's the same thing every time. This year, 2023, was just like 2019. Next year, 2024, just like 2020. Having the price won't go crazy until like 6 months afterwards. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. Why does some mainstream media need to talk to George Tung? If you listen to George Tung and you think that what he's talking about is smart or new, no, it's old. Who the heck is he? You're going to hear it in 2028 also. Dude, I'm excited about the halving, though, of course. I'm excited about everything, though. So you're asking the wrong guy about excitement and stuff. But my Lord, God, how many times do I have to live through this stuff? So Go ahead, take it.
Cryptos Are Us, the YouTube channel. And it's also interesting they had a calendar so they could see that there was a presidential election.
Yeah.
Good call on that one. Let's move on to the exit question. Dan, Eve, the price of Bitcoin, will it be higher or lower this time next week?
Higher.
Adam Meister, higher or lower?
Take me higher, baby, like the song says.
And here we go. We're going to go and ask the Magic 8-Ball live. Will the price of Bitcoin be higher? Here we go, shaking the 8-Ball. And the price is, as I see it, yes. As I see it, yes. The ball is bullish. We have bullish balls. Moving on to issue two. Issue two, Terra's Do Kwon admits to faking trading volume in a leaked chat. He says, I won't tell if you won't. We've often wondered if exchanges, especially Terra and others, had fake volume. And now here's one of the leaders of the exchanges saying, yes, they had fake volume. Adam Meister, what do you think about the fake volume admitted by Do Kwon and Terra?
Of course, this is something we've been very comfortable with since like 2016 and stuff. I mean, it's just, it's that this dude admits it. You know, this, why does anyone care what this dude says? He's like, he's a liar anyway. He's gonna lie, lie, lie. I think a lot of people just want revenge on this dude. So he says something like that, like, oh, maybe they'll send him to jail. What's he in Singapore now? So maybe they'll slap his butt or whatever. Is that what they do there? Slap your tuchus a few times when you commit a crime? Yeah. So it's like, this is newsworthy because people want revenge from this guy because he ripped them off because of his Terra, right? Why were you investing in Terra in the first place? Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin. I don't want revenge against this guy. I don't care what happens to this dude. I don't care what this guy says at all or whatever. But yeah, it is there's fake volume out there. Some criminal is admitting there's fake volume. Wow, great. A criminal is admitting there's fake volume out there. Don't trade, people. Just hold your Bitcoin. Buy and hold.
It is something we'd always suspected, but it is a little different to see them putting it in print and then actually admitting it. Dan, Eve, what do you think about the possible admissions, of course, allegedly and through the chat and all that, of fake volume?
Well, one thing's for sure, and that's that if you're going to do something nefarious, don't text people about it, because the amount of people whose downfalls we're seeing, and I'm not encouraging anyone to do anything nefarious, but if you are going to do it, just don't text people, because those text messages will
come out and they will make you look stupid.
Ultimately, wash trading is bad. We know it's been, as Adam said, we know it's been happening all along. I mean, you can go to many of these exchanges and look at the order books, and you can see the daily volume in there. There's 20 to 30 times the depth of the order book somehow. And it's very, very obvious. You know, a lot of these shit coins, these tokens that get launched, they jump onto an exchange, they've got to provide liquidity, they pay a market maker. The market maker doesn't just make the markets, they fake the markets too. It's pretty obvious. But don't text people about it, because you're just going to get yourself into a lot more trouble. Now, what they did, obviously, with their algorithmic stablecoin, they caused a bit quiet for all. They were doing really good, right? They were second to Ethereum in trading volume and as a chain. And then, obviously, you know, things came crumbling down, just like with FTX. So stick to solid
stablecoin projects like
standard instead, and don't fake trading volume.
I can see we're now joined by Josh Shigala from The Standard. Josh Shigala, what do you think about Terra's admission via chat that they allegedly faked volume?
Everyone, literally everyone does. And so, you know, whoop-de-doo. Like, it's just, it's this hidden thing about this industry that no one wants to talk about, that you get these coins that move. Like, you can't have a market cap of, very small market cap of all of crypto, really, compared in the big scheme of things, and then have billions and billions per day trading, especially on some of these ridiculous nonsense exchanges that, you know, so yeah, that's not, it doesn't surprise me.
Well, I don't have it up right now, but my brother found a website where you could hire a market maker to come into your exchange and, like Josh says, to create fake volume in, I assume, what is the legit and legal way, because it would, like, we make markets for Coinbase, Kraken, all the major industry players. And like you're saying, Josh, they acted as if it was nothing, that they're creating this fake volume. Then they create this fake appetite where people go out there and they look and they say, wow, you know, 1 million people are buying Tommy Coin. It must be really good, you know, and 1 million people have sold this today. It must be really bad. And if you're faking the volume, which according to this chat by Do Kwon, which previously, I mean, everyone always said, oh yeah, they're faking the volume and they have backroom chats and they have sending money around and all these things are happening. But to actually have it in the chat where he says, we even make fees, it attracts investors. It's in their best interest to fake volume. Therefore, they have allegedly been faking volume. I would also like to get Josh's opinion on the first issue. 2024 looks to be a superfectra, as Adam Meister said, or a quadfectra, all four things happening with the presidential election, the ETF being approved, the SEC perhaps lifting rates, or the Feds lifting rates, and of course, the halvening. Josh Shigala, what do you think about 2024 and Bitcoin?
Well, it's all boom, 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 moon, 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 isn't it? Really? Like, it's going to just skyrocket. I'm looking forward to 2024, yeah. 2024, still hardcore.
We've even had the Magic 8 Ball, who is positive and believes the price will go up next week. Exit question, will we hear more about other exchanges faking their volumes? Adam Meister, is this the first in a long series of articles?
Well, there have been rumors before about other ones. Will someone straight up admit it? Why not? Why not? It happens. Someone else will talk about it.
Dan Eve, will more people be admitting it, perhaps even directly, not accidentally, in a chat message?
Yeah, I think the you know, when these exchanges start to crumble and they get investigated for whatever reason, these sorts of things are unearthed, that there becomes plea deals, and in the plea deals, people release messages of you know, the people in the exchange who have said, you know, we need to do the X, Y, and Z that's against, you know, against all morally what's right. And so, yeah, the more exchanges that crumble, the more we'll find out about this. But even some exchanges don't even know it's happening, or at least would just turn a blind eye, right? They just say, look, we're going to have to delist you if your volume's not very good. And then, you know, that forces the shit token to create their volume out of thin air. So they kind of know it's happening, but they're not kind of instigating it themselves. But they appreciate it because it looks good for their volumes, right?
Josh Shigala, continuing our baseball theme, I feel like you're the one baseball team that didn't take steroids while the rest of the league was on them. What do you think about this faking volume issue for the other exchanges?
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, why DEXs are so important compared to centralized exchanges. I think DEXs are fantastic. They're a lot more transparent. You could still do it over there. But yeah, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. People shouldn't be sucked in by nonsense. They should be sucked in by fundamentals. If you see a real problem being solved in the crypto space, then you buy it. It doesn't matter what its volume is or whatever. When you're investing or you're taking part in a project, don't follow the crowds. That's how you get bled out. Follow the fundamentals. Okay, there's a problem in the industry. Ah, look, someone's trying to solve that problem. What's their team like? Have they, you know, there's a whole bunch of red flags and green flags. Follow that. Don't follow the volume. It's nonsense.
It is amazing how people will just follow numbers like baseball statistics and just, I'm going to invest in that team. They look like winners on paper. And now we find out that all the winning was faked behind the scenes. Go Baltimore, I guess.
Go Baltimore.
Check out worldcryptonetwork.com. We've got 3,161 videos. We've even got these brand new short videos, which are created by AI. It's really neat. AI creates all the content and the title, and we just let it rip. And maybe we find some new subscribers this way. That's our hopes.
I got to say, shorts of the whole shorts and YouTube have been destroyed because of AI. Not these ones. These ones are fantastic. But man, some of the crap that gets fed up, and you're just like, what even is this? Why is this even on here? I think AI might get better eventually, but
it is amazing to see what it picks. I know we've had several great Dan stories about dogs having fleas, and last week's story about the sad pigeon was a little story. I think the computer really picks out these stories well.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say, like, Carrie like came out to me the other day. She was like, "What on earth possessed you to put a video out about the dog fleas?" And I was like, "We didn't do it, the computer did."
That's right. The AI found it interesting, so it cut it out, and suddenly we're experts on dog fleas or Elon Musk and Twitter or other political topics that we didn't necessarily want to get into. But again, you just run the AI, and more things these days, you run the AI and see what it makes for you. See what comes out. With a little bit of editing, you can usually use most everything, or you can do what I did and just put it up anyway, see what happens. So it's an experiment. Issue 3, Sam Bankman-Fried is back again. Sam Bankman-Fried allegedly explored paying Donald Trump not to run for president, with the price being around $5 billion. He also told his girlfriend, Carolyn Ellison, that he might not have a soul, which is probably a good reason not to date him. It also, according to the article, he enjoyed making love to her, let's say it the nice way. We've also had a big book release, Going Infinite by Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball, the famous baseball book, as well as The Big Short and other books like that. And unfortunately, it looks like it's a worshipful portrait of Sam Bankman-Fried. They didn't bother to change the book after he was brought up on fraud. And we've had the first couple days of his trial with people that were critical of him, exposing him and his former friend and campmate, Gary Fong, going on the witness stand today and tomorrow, as well as the re-engagement of CoffeeZilla, famous YouTube detective, on the Sam Bankman-Fried case. Let's go to Josh Shigala first. What do you think about the latest developments in SBF, from the trial to the book to the political interference?
Yeah, it's definitely movie stuff, isn't it? It's wild, and it's popcorn driving wild good stuff. This is the beautiful thing about crypto. Since the beginning, it's been every week something fascinating. Like, it's an endless box of popcorn, basically. And, every time there's either an exchange going bust, a drug kingpin going down, money locked into a DAO that then gets hacked, that then has 2 weeks for the chain to figure out how to do it. Otherwise, the hacker will get away from them. Like, it's wild. It's a wild, wild industry. And it sucks when your funds are in play for that, whatever's happening. But generally speaking, it's never a dull moment. And I'll be very, very fascinated to see what comes out in this FTX nonsense.
It has been an amazing cast of characters in crypto so far. Who knew that we could get even more exciting with Sam Bankman-Fried, with the curly hair, the cargo shorts, the effective altruism, and the fact that he's going to give all the money away. So you should really just give him all your money, because he's going to give it away anyway. And now to see Michael Lewis turn. I understand being lazy, and he certainly was in a beautiful position having all these interviews with Sam, but not to recast the book. And I really do think he should have gone chapter by chapter through here and said, added in a little narrator, almost like a Great Gatsby-esque narrator, who says, "I thought at the time that Sam was smart. I thought at the time that Sam was clever. I was fooled by this. I was fooled by that." Instead of putting that in, and I've only read the beginning of the book so far, but I've read a couple of reviews and watched the CoffeeZilla video on the book, it seems like he doesn't. It seems like he gets to the end where there's fraud, and he's kind of like, "This screws up my whole story," but he goes with it anyway. And now I've seen clips of him on 60 Minutes defending Sam and saying things like, "His business still would have been making money if it didn't have that bank run." when anyone that knows the basics of how they ran this business, they were intermingling, allegedly, they were intermingling customer funds. So they didn't know if it was a deposit or if it was investor money, if it should be spent on a Tom Brady commercial or it should be put in a vault. And that's not a way to run a business. It doesn't matter if you're Michael Lewis, who writes about sports, or Kevin Leary, or whoever you are. You have to know that's like wrong business 101. Dan, Eve, what do you think about the Sam Bankman-Fried story? It does keep getting better and better in all directions.
Oh, it's like, yeah, it's definitely a huge drama, right? They're going to adapt it for Netflix. Maybe what would be amazing if there was this intersectionality of FTX and the downfall of Bitcoin, somehow they were interlinked in some crazy ass way to really sort of make the show have fireworks. But yeah, I mean, the more that comes out, he's definitely an interesting character. He's the more you read about it, the more shady he becomes. There was something about quite down to earth about the fact that his cons list was longer than his pros list, right? That self-criticality, that he obviously has. He's obviously quite an arrogant guy, the way he's played off, even in The Big Short, I can't remember the author of his book, the way he sort of, some of the excerpts are read around him. He kind of plays him off as being, you know, quite an arrogant guy, but he also seems in some way slightly down to earth. But maybe that's because he had to seem that way, especially as he was involved in this effective altruism. He can't seem, you know, he can't show how kind of arrogant and uppity he actually really is. So he puts on this facade of being kind of really down to earth, you know, driving his, Nissan Sunny or whatever instead of a Lamborghini, and all these kind of small things that he tried to make it look like he was this really nice guy who's trying to save the world with his infinite money requirement, but you know, then you get to the bottom of it and he's paying off politicians left, right and center. He's trying to buy Trump out of his presidency. He's trying to he's commingling funds. He's got this crazy relationship in this polycule, although we don't hear much about the poly part, right? We only hear about the Caroline Ellison and Sam Bankman-Fried. We don't hear about the other people in this polycule. So maybe they're going to cover that in Netflix, the After Hours show. I'll definitely watch it. It seems crazy, and it only just gets crazier as well.
It's amazing how all of his altruistic things, not having a good car, dressing in cargo shorts, all these things are the same thing that a scammer would do. A scammer would be like, I'm not interested in money. I don't have fancy clothes. I don't have a fancy car. And then in the end, you know, he's taking all the money out. He's buying $1 million and $5 million properties for his parents, all kinds of other stuff. They're just wasting money in general as well. Adam Meister, what do you think about the SBF drama as we're now into the book and trial phase, still on the deck there for Netflix and a movie of the week?
I have a lot to say. It's complete nonsense. One of you said it was nonsense. It's nonsense. The more we talk about it, the more likely that he is going to be the mascot for Elizabeth Warren's campaign against, to regulate this stuff. So the more we focus on this insanity, she's just going to say SBF, 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 regulate, make this illegal. SBF is Bitcoin. SBF. It's so obvious. So they want the people who want to ruin Bitcoin, ruin cryptocurrency, whatever you want to say. They love it. They love it. So they're going to keep talking about it. It's salacious. It's insane. I do remember in Miami, I think it was 2021 or 2022, Thomas was there. He was walking around at SBF. If any of you care, he is down to earth. He's just a regular guy walking around. You couldn't tell he was special at all. But who really cares about that? The thing is, the $5 billion that obviously stolen $5 billion that he has the ultimate, he really wanted to give Trump that money. This man has the ultimate TDS. I've never heard of someone that had TDS like this before, that he feels like he would have done it. He would have done. I mean, what a controversy this would have been. And who knows if Trump would have taken it. I have no idea. I don't really care. But I mean, this is the ultimate case of TDS. I've never heard of someone just wanting to get rid of Trump. Dude, you have so many better things to spend your money on. Who cares if the guy runs for president or not? You're going to give away most of your stolen money to this guy? I mean, whoa, what is this? So I believe that he really did. I mean, this is the ultimate case of TDS. He wanted to fit in. I think that would have been the ultimate, like, altruistic thing in his community. You gave up your whole fortune to save undefined democracy. Whatever you say democracy is, you just gave it up to save it. And now we love you even more than before. You are the ultimate TDS. Long live. And, you know, talking about his orgies and everything that he was having, I mean, that these hideous looking people were having orgies with each other and stuff. I mean, and that's why people are interested in it. And you know what? I'm not going to insult the girl or anything. At least she's a real woman. Because in today's day and age, you don't know what. I mean, you think he was. I can't say. And I'm not going to. I want you to stay on YouTube and everything. But thank God she's a real woman, at least. That's the best I can say about her looks. And she's smart, too. Obviously, she's probably a high IQ individual. He's high IQ, too. Look what it gets you. This is insanity. So let's stop talking about it because they're going to try to regulate because the congressmen and stuff, they don't know anything about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. They just know, oh, it's SBF. And by the way, out of the four of us, do you know anyone who actually was ripped off by this exchange? I know no one. I've been in this thing for 10 years, dudes. He ripped off people like Tom Brady, all these famous people. That's why it's such a big darn story. I don't know common regular people that were ripped off by this dude. This whole thing stinks. It all stinks. And it's too bad. It's going to be used as a club to try to regulate Bitcoin in the future in the United States of America by someone heinous like what's her face in Massachusetts. Yeah. Okay.
That's an interesting take actually. Yeah. If anyone's in the chat, if you lost money in FTX, Give us a message and say what happened. But
it can't pull our audience is going to be too smart for that. Maybe they have friends or cousins or people that against their own advice invested in that. Because yeah, like Adam's saying, he might have been in Miami, but I'm not sure I knew who he was until this thing blew up. I mean, I know the commercials. I know they bought Blockfolio app. That was a big deal to crypto people.
And that annoyed me because I liked Blockfolio.
It's disappointing, but it was really sharp the way they changed their app to it. It's similar to what Elon's done with X.com. He's taken a user base and changed it into the other user base and said, hey, do you want to log into my new product? And, you know, it's just like getting a big customer list. It's just smart salesmanship.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Sam, like the orgies start, I don't want anything. I don't want anything, but I want as many women as I can. There starts the greed. So you're like, oh, okay, there you go. Maybe.
I don't know. We only know that he wants this one woman that looks like Harry Potter. That's all we seem to know so far. But I assume there's other places to go in the Bahamas. There's other places to spend this money. I'm impressed by their dedication to deliveries. There's a story now that they had an airplane, like a jet, delivering their Amazon packages at great cost. They had massive accounts with like the local restaurants delivering them food. There seems no attempt to save money at any level of this company. I mean, it's crazy to say that hiring a chef might have saved the money, but hiring a chef probably would have saved the money. I mean, there's different ways to run this company. And at the very basic levels of like, you know, should we rent a car service or should we get a limo every time? And it's like, they're like, yeah, limo every time. I mean, this is just an incredible way that they spent this money.
But I reckon Adam's right, man. Like, you know, this is just a mega highlight, just a highlight on all the nonsense and crap. And of course that stuff can happen, but yeah, how many people did it actually affect? I'm really interested in that statistic now. I want to see.
Well, I mean, unfortunately it's probably hurt weaker people in other countries that we don't know that certainly don't watch the World Crypto Network. But yeah, there's damages somewhere. I would push back a little bit on Adam there. I think if you could have paid Trump off before the 2016 election, you could have gotten a really good deal for your $5 billion, could have prevented a lot of damage. And so far, at least from what I've seen from the trial, There's a lot of damages. This is a different show. But the trial has mainly been focusing on traditional fraud, the fact that they were mixing accounts, the fact that they were using other people's money, not the crypto fraud. But I agree with Adam, that could very be well used as a club by people who don't like crypto, who just, you know, label it all with the same cloth, even though we know he's a traditional frauder. He's a traditional scammer. You know, he didn't use any magic crypto tricks to scam these people. That could very well be used by people who don't like crypto. So interesting thing. We're going to keep an eye on it. I'd have you guys predict who's going to be guilty, but we'll do that next time. We'll just let Sam have some fun for now. And let
we should do a sweepstake on how many years he gets, because he's going to go down, right? He has to get some years, right? He's going to get a few in there. So we should.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously he's not going to get life. He's not going to get double life like Ross Ulbricht. I was thinking that the other day, just how unfair it is that, you know, Ross was completely canned and put away. It's been about 10 years now since the Silk Road was shut down and the Dread Pirate Roberts put away. Whereas everyone's coming out to protect this Sam guy. To see Michael Lewis, the famous author, give up on his objectivity or reality or whatever it is to protect Sam is just shocking. And not to see anything like that for Ross, even among the libertarians or the high-minded libertarians, no one wrote a book where they're like, hey, let's all, you know, defend Ross and defend the politics of the Silk Road and so forth. They just ran for cover. But what do you think? Let's go to Adam Meister. I know you got stuff to say. Will Sam be in prison long? And anything else you want to say, go ahead.
He'll probably get, I don't know what his sentence is going to be, but he'll spend about 3 years and they'll find some excuse to get him out of there or something like that. He ripped off people. I think he just ripped off people like Tom Brady, people who had, and he stole a lot of money, but I think he stole the bulk of it was from very wealthy, ignorant people that just got involved with this thing. And it just showed you how he was involved with rich people. And maybe on the other side of things, that's why he gets defended by some of these rich people, why he's only going to spend like 3 years in jail or whatever. It was a very high level thing, ripping off rich people, pleasing rich people. None of us can name a person that was ripped off by this. I do not know any regular person who lost, you know, $10,000. But now Gox, I still know people, of course. And Bitcoin was so much smaller back then. I mean, these guys had the arena named after them in Miami. So they had advertised during the Super Bowl. Did any real person who watched the Super Bowl or drove by the Miami arena give this man money and then lose it? I don't hear a groundswell of people saying, "God, give me my money back," like with Mt. Gox and stuff. It's very, very interesting.
It's almost like my favorite movie, The Paper, where these guys, they're trading stock money and they lose a bunch of it. And it turned out it was the mob money. And they're like, "Oh, unwise guys, dumb fellas." Let's go to Josh Segala. What do you think about the SBF and all the drama that's been going on?
I don't really have much more to add to SBF, but I do like, I know that he took the so-called smart money, which turned out to be the dumb money. And these people never want to admit that they're the dumb money, but some of these big VCs, some of these big, huge VCs are really culpable here, because they're the ones that went, "Oh, you know, 3 Hour Capital's in, I'm in," or, you know, whatever. What was the big capitalist that was?
Sequoia is one of the big ones.
Sequoia. Yeah. Oh, Sequoia's in. I'm not going to even do my due diligence. And Sequoia probably didn't do their due diligence because they watched Sam play his video game and pitch and think he's such an arrogant prick. And he probably had some VC money and some connections because of the Harvard and the parents and stuff. So this thing of the smart money, and I've seen smart money in this space. I'm going to keep quotation smart money. The VCs and the so-called smart money is just as dumb as the retailer. When the skyrocket's going off, when we're at the moon, they're just piling in. They just can't stop. They're not looking. They're just throwing stuff at anything. And in the bear market, oh no, crypto's dead. Nah. And they'll pick you to bits. They'll destroy you in a pitch. It's just the dumb money. It's that absolute dumb money. Adam.
I want to say, it is dumb money. They couldn't investigate the simple fact they were all on Adderall and that their accounting was like an Excel spreadsheet. And that is due diligence any of us could have done. They all piled on because one other VC piled on. And the question that Thomas forgot to ask you was, how many years in prison do you think he's going to get? That's what Thomas forgot.
I mean, I read somewhere it was life, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they'll pull him back.
Meister's put down 3, so you're going to go over or under 3. You got to stick with that.
I'll go a little bit over 3. I think maybe like 10, but then good behavior will pull it back and, something like that. But yeah, it's not quite Robin Hood that he did. Absolutely not. But it was like steal from the rich to give to the rich and make myself look poor. I don't know. It's the weirdest scam.
It is similar to Robin Hood. It does have some elements of the original plot. Dan, Eve, Meister's got 3. Josh says 10. How many years will Sam get?
So if Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos got 11 years, which I think is now being reduced by 2 to 9, he's got to get at least double that, right? Because although that was heavily publicized, this is insanely publicized, the amount this being dragged out by this sort of this whole story. He touched a lot of places, hitting the Bahamian government. Was it the Bahamian government who were in quite close ties with him, and he was trying to pay off the Democrats and the Republicans, and he got superstars involved. You got Larry and Larry David and Tom Brady, and I think I don't know anyone who got stung by FTX, but it was very much out there in the public eye, right? So maybe it will be kind of good for him, the amount of people that he paid off, getting his sentence reduced. But there's also got to be a lot of people that lost a lot of money that are also in high places that are like, make sure this guy goes down. So yeah, I think it would only be fair that in a much more widespread case like this, that he would get more years than Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes.
But also, okay, like 18. Some of the rich...
18, I'll go for 18. Sorry, Josh.
No, I sorry for interrupting there. 18, yeah, this could be right. The thing is that people like Mr. Not So Wonderful went straight to Washington afterwards to like go towards the regulators and start to pitch towards regulation and more regulation. So, and the thing is that's nonsense, is that FTX was already regulated to hell. It's just that scammers don't care about regulation. They're just going to go around it and try to pay people off.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They don't care about the law. They're just going to, they'll make their shortcuts.
On even did jurisdictional arbitrage by moving to the Bahamas, which were crypto friendly, but just seemed like a red flag if you were any kind of traditional investor. I agree. I think it's so sad in our society. We give so much jail time for violent crime and so little jail time for financial crime. In my mind, I take whatever the estimate should be, and I multiply it times 8 billion. And I say $8 billion is missing. This is the biggest like whoopsie ever. This isn't like, you knocked over a statue in a museum or something's happened. This is $8 billion missing. That said, I mean, we'd be hopeful to get 25. I think, but unfortunately, the guys around 10 to 15 with time off for good behavior is probably more apt for that.
Yeah, if you think about
the
amount of people that get like that go down for years for doing like 5 or 6 like shop robberies, right? But this is the equivalent of doing like 10,000 shops, like robbing 10,000 shops and being caught for it. Yeah,
I don't think.
But he didn't hurt the shopkeeper, so everything's fine.
Yeah, but Adam's right here. Like, and the previous question's right. Fake volume. And fake paper money. His FTT token or whatever it was called wasn't worth $8 billion. Yeah, it was on paper. And a lot of this was this value, poof, disappearing. Oh, how could he be so rich? Because he was paying everyone off in FTT. And they wouldn't sell it straight away, so it still had the value. I don't think that the volumes weren't that massive. It can't be 8 billion. He can't have pulled 8 billion from somewhere.
Well, just remember, Larry David told you not to invest. So at least we'll always have that. Let's move on to issue 4. Issue 4, Shark Tank star Kevin Leary laughs off the idea that institutional investors want Bitcoin. They don't own any of it. Kevin O'Leary, who famously promoted the FTX exchange, even defending them after we knew that Sam was guilty and getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do it, is back again. This time he says that the ETFs will go down because you can't find a good exchange partner, that Coinbase is no good, that Binance is no good. Ah, Leary, you can almost hear him pining for FTX and wishing for the old days when his buddy Sam could have taken care of this project and made money for him. Dan, Eve, what do you think about Kevin O'Leary's announcement that institutional investors don't want Bitcoin, which would be a surprise to everyone who's doing the buying for all the ETFs right now?
I think he's trying to go out on a limb against the tide to kind of prove himself that he's a genius after the FTX debacle. So he's coming up with these crazy, you know, as many crazy theories as he can, and hopefully one of them gets pulled off so we can say, "See, I told you so. I wasn't an idiot who backed FTX." But it seems like, you know, you're backing the wrong horse there. We've now got these trillion, was it the last count was something like $15.6 trillion of assets under management, you know, the funds that are pushing a Bitcoin spot ETF. So, yeah, that's really swimming against the tide now, going up against BlackRock and saying that these ETFs are going to fail because, you know, love or hate BlackRock, they've got a huge swathe of money behind them. So this is just another desperate attempt to stay relevant and try and keep his name in there, maybe get another like Shark Tank type show or something,
Now, keep in mind, I've been to a crypto conference that was attended by Kevin O'Leary, and the waves of the sea did part when he marched down the aisle, and everyone was following him, trying to get their question answered. Which altcoin should I buy? When should I buy Bitcoin? What's the price? Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here having told people since 2013, buy Bitcoin, and I was totally ignored. Adam Meister, what do you think about Kevin O'Leary? He's a big star on Shark Tank. He's going to tell us everything we need to know about crypto now.
Yeah, I was at that conference also in Miami. He's an engagement queen. I mean, he just says things so people, he knows who it'll anger the crypto Twitter, and you'll get all these follows, get all this attention. He's good at marketing. He does not practice what he preaches at all. He'll say Bitcoin's bad. He buys up Bitcoin on the side. He's probably saying this strategically, trying to scare people off while he buys. I mean, it's who knows what he's playing 4D chess. I mean, I don't want to give him too much credit here, but he is. He wants engagement. He knows he's saying this for other reasons. He knows darn well that institutions are going to buy it, and that they only can buy it if it's, you know, deemed kosher this way by the government. And, it's attention seeking. And I feel bad for the people who are going to be scared off from buying the underlying ass. Don't wait around for this to happen. Don't become comfortable when this happens. Get the underlying asset now. Don't you don't need the ETF version of it, and you don't need to be confident there is going to be an ETF version of it. There is. Thomas and I, we've been talking about, I mean, we've been on shows about this since 2016. They were talking about the ETF. And yeah, it's 2023, it hasn't happened yet. Guess what? It's gonna happen. You wait long enough, it's gonna happen. Last time the Orioles won the World Series was 1983. It's been 40 years, all right? We've grown up knowing it's gonna happen eventually. It's long-term thinking, it's going to happen. I'm tying everything together. My slogans, my team, the subject matter. Long-term thinking, pound that like button.
Great stuff from Adam. I had something to say, but I completely forgot because it all came back to the Orioles in the end. Josh Shigala, what do you think about Mr. Wonderful? He's not so wonderful, but he thinks he is.
No, totally. He's taken a leaf out of Peter Schiff's book, and that's what it is. Like, Peter Shifty's book, you know, his kids are buying Bitcoin while he's saying no, no, no. And it's just a game. It's a marketing play. And they try, they're so arrogant, some of these people, they try to move the market by being negative and then buy up more. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Well, and it does go back to what we've been saying about CNBC this whole time. When Bitcoin is red hot, they put the little ticker in the corner, they report on it every 15 minutes, and they do all those articles about, if you had bought it this time, it would be worth this now. But when Bitcoin's a little colder, like maybe now, or the NFT market ice cold, and anybody says, hey, you know, maybe these things that are down really low, you buy them low, they go back up to where they were, you sell for a profit, you look really smart. Nobody says that. Nobody says that right now about Bitcoin or about NFTs or about any of these things, that there could be a possible comeback. Yet that's where risk comes in. If you want to be a risky investor, you buy risky things when they're down, when everyone hates them. And then when they're up and they're on the moon and everyone loves them, that's when you sell at least some of it. I thought that was the game we're playing, right? Buy low, sell high. Yeah, no, nobody else. Not allowed to play.
Buy high,
game.
Sell low.
Yeah, that's what I tried that one. That one doesn't work. I want to do the other one. I want to think of what someone smarter than me would do, and then I'll do that. But I think we're running out of time here. Let's go to predictions or story of the week. Dan Eve, are you ready with a prediction or a story of the week?
Well, I've got a continuation of the story, unfortunately, which was that whilst we, you know, this was about my adopted son, Barry the Pigeon, who I saved off of the middle of the road and came home to picking up my son from school, and we walked into the garden as Barry's eyes were being pecked out by a madcap magpie, and I was like, god damn you, magpie, and my son was like crying, like, Barry, it's like, it was really emotional for everyone. But I was like, no, Barry's completely fine. And then he went and stayed at my parents. My son did say the you know, for the night. And then the next morning I was like, he came back and he was like, where's Barry? Where's Barry, dad? Has he died? And I was like, no, son, he flew away. His mum came with him and he flew away. And, you know, and that was totally fine. And as far as Hudson knew, Barry the pigeon flew away with his mum. She came back for him and he flew away. And then he sat looking at my iPad. And he's watching YouTube, and he picks literally the YouTube short of the thing. And I suddenly, I'm sat there like going, oh, that's really cute. Hudson's watching me on YouTube. And then all of a sudden I heard Barry's dead, and Hudson went, no, damn you, magpie. And it was like, right. No. Oh my God. I'm so, no, Hudson, he didn't, I was joking. It was a joke. It was just for the show. I was just joking. And so I was like, no, you know, so I managed to convince him again that Barry flew off with his mum. He's not dead and his eyes are totally fine and they weren't pecked out. And I'm trying to stop him from hating on magpies now, because we saw a few on the drive today. And he was like, dad, daddy, magpies are bad. And I was like, yeah, no, magpies aren't bad. Don't hate on magpies. It's absolutely fine. So, yeah, it was very sad, but I managed to convince him out of Barry being dead again.
Well, that just shows the tragically great power of the YouTube Shorts app, that it was that in your face, that like, just click on it, that somehow through all the things on the internet, he would somehow find that.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right, Adam Meister, prediction or story of the week? Go ahead.
Both. All right. One day closer to an all-time high, and Bitcoin always returns to its all-time high. Those are my predictions. All right. And some of my most famous slogans are long-term thinking and conviction. And so it's long-term thinking here, people. It always returns to its all-time high, so do not worry. But and also train yourself in conviction and long-term thinking. Then, yeah, it's going to happen. Just stick with the program, and it will happen. And just like with the Orioles, I have known since I was a little boy that first of all, since 2016, they haven't been in the playoffs. I have waited patiently. Long term, I knew they would return. I had the conviction and the belief that they would. And tomorrow they return to the playoffs. And so everyone can see, I am very excited about the Orioles returning to the playoffs tomorrow, finally. and has a legitimate chance of winning World Series for the first time in 40 years, God willing. And so you think Adam's going to be watching that game tomorrow. Well, I'm in Salt Lake City right now, and the game starts at 11 o'clock in the afternoon. Tomorrow is also a Jewish holiday called Shemini Atzeret. And it is one of the four times a year they do the memorial service for your parents. And my dad was the one who got me into baseball. And there's no way I would miss that service. And the Oriole, I will miss most of the game tomorrow. But guess what? Long-term thinking, I waited this long, I will wait longer. Because I have conviction to my father, to my beliefs, and I will stick with them. So go Orioles, Shabbat Shalom, pound that like button, people, and have a great Simchas Torah on Sunday, too.
Well done, Adam. Nice.
It's a beautiful story, Adam. I think we're all rooting for the Orioles now. It's been a long time. It's great to see teams that haven't made it in a long time. Like I saw the Twins won a series the other day. So go Twins as well. They haven't been in a long time. But Josh Shigal, a prediction or a story of the week? Everybody seemed to bring little stories today. You might have to watch out there. Competition is rising here. I don't know.
My story is that we had a koala in our tree. We found a koala and he's hanging out here, he or she, I'm not sure. But that was really amazing because it was a very hot day and he tried to find us some water in the pool, but they put a pool fence up so before we bought the place. So I think he wasn't used to the pool fence, so he could have a drink every so often. I've put a little bird bowl out for him now, so he can go and have a drink from that. That's my story. So yeah, a little bit of a story.
Very cool, Josh. A koala, very exotic. I think most people aren't in Australia, so we don't have koala bears. So
They're everywhere.
They are huge claws. Scary looking claws. They're like Freddy Krueger and stuff.
But they're so cute. I saw the videos of the wildfires, and there's these really poor koalas that had they burnt their, their paws, and people were saving them because they couldn't climb back up trees. It's awful.
Aren't they really mean animals? Like they can really rip you apart. I've heard stuff.
They rip you apart. I've seen some. Back in the day, you'd go to the zoo or something, and there'd be some little, Asian girl wanting to hold the koala because they always have these holding. They don't do it anymore, but this, and then it was just like go nuts and. This girl's getting strangled. Oh my god! No, they look cute. It's kind of like Sam Bankman-Fried. Look cute, absolute glory and nightmarish. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great note to end on. Sam Bankman-Fried is like a koala. Go ahead, Dan. One more.
So Crypto Cleanse is saying, is there any videos of Barry the Pigeon? There's no videos, but just very quickly, this is Barry the Pigeon. And then this is him in his little box in there because I had him in the lounge. And then
hold it a little closer, Dan. We can't quite see.
Closer. And then my dogs were circling. There's them looking at the box, waiting for Barry to jump out so they could say hello or eat him or something. There's him chilling on the. Look at that little pigeon just chilling on the porch. He was just having a whale of a time. Then he found a nice little place at the back of the garden somewhere. You can't see him. There you go. There he is. Right somewhere there. There he is. So that's Barry.
In memory of Barry the Pigeon. May he rest in peace.
Blind Barry. Baltimore. Go the Baltimore.
And Sam Bankman-Fried is a koala bear. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.